Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you that God has allowed me to be used to give a word to his people. And I don't take it lightly. I find that it is an honor and a privilege. And I thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule Wednesday after Wednesday as we fellowship together and explore the Word of God. The lesson tonight, the title is Hold On to the Confession of Your Faith in Christ. You know, our faith is based on Christ. And we confess that we are one of his, and he's our Lord, Savior, and Master. And he granted us the ability to go to God for ourselves, and he is the one that died for us. So if that's your faith, and that's what you confess, you have to hold on to the confession of your faith at all times, not sometimes, not just when it's convenient. You know, plenty of times, you know, they have faith and they turn from their faith because at the moment it doesn't fit with their agenda. It's sometimes people take their faith and put it on a shelf so that they could go and do what they want to do. You know, several times in the past I've heard people say, oh, they lucky I'm changed. Because if not, I'll show them the other side of me. I'll show them what I used to do and things like that. But really and truly, what sense would that make for you to be created a new creature? To become a child of God. And then go and turn back to your old ways before you knew him. So hold on to the confession of your faith. And I think that this is a message that Jude is trying to portray in his short letter. We are in the book of Jude tonight, and we're going to expound on it, and we're going to elaborate on it. But first, I'm going to play a song. The song that I'm going to play tonight is No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. You know, you used to always say that. I mean, a lot of times people say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But do they really take time and understand what it is saying? It's not saying that no weapon won't form against you, but the weapons that form against you shall not prosper. If you look back over your life and think of some things that has happened, adversities, trials, and tribulation in your life, they did come, but it didn't take you out. You see what I'm saying? They may, you know, they're going to come because the book of James say, when we fall into divers of temptation, it didn't say if we. So if you have ever said that and you truly believe that, then you know weapons will form, and God may allow them to form, but he's still going to work it out together for your good, the confession of your faith. So I'm going to play this record, No Weapon Formed Against Us Shall Prosper, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. And then we'll go to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. against me shall prosper. Each one of us can think of a time where a weapon formed up and we thought it was going to be the end of the world, that we could never get past it. And as the day went on, you could see the light. And it got better and better by and by. You know, listening to that song, it made me reflect on the time that I went and I had tests at Ashna Foundation, and they did a biopsy, and they told me that I had cancer, and they was going to perform a surgery. You know, the weapon was forming, and I just stood back, and I told myself that no matter what happens, I was going to believe the report of the Lord. But to make a long story short, I went to another facility, and I had a surgery, and they removed the tumor, and then they dissected it, and they told me I didn't have cancer. I didn't have to take chemo. I didn't need radiation. But I was told that I had cancer from the results of a biopsy. I'm just trying to tell y'all tonight that God is able, and he could do abundantly more than you could even ask or think by his power. So we have to just hold on to the confession of our faith. Now y'all got to remember, everything don't happen the same way for everybody, but all, no matter how he allows your to happen, it's going to be for your good. God makes no mistakes. You know our motto, nothing happens unless he allow or orchestrate. So if he orchestrate a certain thing in your life, it is well. And even if he don't orchestrate it, but it is happening and he allow it, he's right there in the middle of that as well. Do you really trust God? It's kind of what Jude is trying to say tonight, that, you know, hold on, no matter what the situation is, no matter what it looks like, continue to hold on, because it's not over until God says it's over. And it's now time to pray. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. God is extending the opportunity for each and every one of us to be able to go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, I have to take and thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your holy word, all 66 books. I thank you for allowing us to stop right now in the book of Jude. Jude is one of the 40 writers that you decided to select, and then you inspired to write the word of God for us today. Let us not take it lightly, dear God. Let us see what the word of God is saying to us and that we apply it in our lives. Holy Ghost, I'm asking that you have your way with this lesson tonight. Don't let your word return void, and give those who seek illumination and revelation. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but become doers of the word, to become more committed. Lord, we realize that we cannot be perfect, but it is written that you ask that we sin less. Not be sinless, but do that we sin less. Lord, by your power and your mercy and your grace, thank you for the time that you allow us to be together. Lord, I pray for the sick and the shut in everywhere, the prisoners in jail, dear God. I pray for the bereaved families, dear God. I pray for the families that feel they have an injustice now, dear God, on every side. Lord, I pray for the poor, and I pray for the mentally ill, dear God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for everyone with all the different needs that they need. Lord, you are the supplier, the author and the finisher of our faith, the great I am. Hallelujah. You're wonderful, God. You're merciful. You're omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. There's no other God besides you. Thank you for your son that you allowed to come and die for our sins, taking all of the punishment that we deserved. Lord, thank you. Thanking you for allowing your spirit to dwell inside of us, to lead and guide us into all righteousness and truth. Thank you. Thank you, dear God, for each and every person that calls in, or everyone that gets to see it or hear it on the internet, dear God. Thank you. I pray that the word you allow to go forth on the night accomplish what you set out for it to do. Lord, allow each and every one of us to realize that we have an intended purpose and you are doing everything to achieve it. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. So the lesson tonight is titled is Hold On to the Confession of Your Faith in Jesus Christ. And we're in the book of Jude, and I know you guys realize that Jude is the second to the last book in the Bible. Revelation is last, and Jude is the book before Revelation. So that means there are 66 books in the Bible. Jude is the 65th. So we have done 65 books in the Bible, not being able to teach the whole book, but each week we touched it. And I pray that each and every one of you got a better idea of the books in the Bible, that it perked your interest enough that you wanted to know more about the books in the Bible. I pray that the Bible becomes small and the names of the books in the Bible you at least have heard and touched was my desire. And we're going to do the book of Jude tonight. Well, I'm going to give a little background, as we always do. The author of the book of Jude is Jude. You see, Jude identifies himself as the brother of James. When Jude identified himself as the brother of James, you know, we know that James, this James that wrote the book of James, is Jesus' half-brother. You know, they had a James that was an apostle, not that James. That's not the James that wrote the book of James. But James is Jesus' half-brother. And Jude identify himself as the brother of James to give us insight that he is also the half-brother of Jesus. You know, Jude likely does not identify himself as the brother of Jesus out of humility and reverence for Christ. You know, Jude might have said, I don't want to just, you know, hang on a coattail of my brother. I don't want to, you know, take special privileges. So he said, I'm the brother of James, and James is the brother of Jesus. You see, Jude, just like his brother James, did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah while he was alive. You see, only after the crucifixion and the resurrection did the scales fall from Jude's eyes, and he became a follower of his half-brother Jesus. You know, Jesus had several brothers and sisters, and nobody but the mother, Mary, knew it was something special about our boy. And I believe as he started teaching and walking and doing the miracles, she understood him as being the Messiah. And at least after he got baptized and he came up out of the water and they had something in the image of a dove, you know, flying, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased." Mary probably knew and accepted that her child was the Messiah. Because you see, many times in the Bible when Mary, different things happened, they were saying in the Bible that Mary pondered. She pondered over what she had heard or what she had seen. You know, that's just like we have little children or boys or girls in our lives, and you can know something special about that child. And this was Mary's son, Jesus. But Mary was the only one believed in him fully while he was living. You see, we live in a unique time in history, and this little book can help equip us for the untold challenges of living in the end times. Yeah, Jude wants y'all to know that the end times is near. And really, Jude is saying they're already here. You see, today's Christians must be on guard for false doctrine, which can easily deceive us if we are not well-versed in the Word of God. We need to know the gospel. We should begin to protect it and defend it and accept the Lordship of Christ, which is evidenced by a changed life. Can anybody see Christ in you? Is your light shining that men could see the good works and glorify the Father? You see, authentic faith always reflects Christ-like behavior. The Bible didn't tell us we could be like, be Christ, but it says Christ like behavior that will help us and be evidence that we now sin a little less than we did before. Should be the goal of all of us. You see, the book of Jude is an important book for us today because it is written for the end times, for the end time of the church age. Y'all need to know that we are living in a church age now. If anybody ever asks you what age are we living in, we're living in a church age. And the church age began at Pentecost because that's when the church was established. You know, God had told Peter, "Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And, you know, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost got loose, so many got saved. But when the feast was over, they had to go home. And there were certain men and women that God had touched, anointed, and appointed. And when they went back to their hometowns, they established churches. The church in Philippi, the church in Galatia, the church, the Thessalonian congregation. Come on, y'all now. The Corinthians, the Philippians. These all churches was formulated after Pentecost, and it became the church age. And the church age is going to still exist until Jesus come back again. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, "I'm coming back for my church," which we are the church. But he's talking about how the congregations act as well. You know, in the book of Revelation, he writes the letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. That was the church congregation. But we know that we are the church, and Jesus is coming back for the church, and we are now living in a church age. See, Jude is the only book given entirely to apostasy, you know, which is an act of referring to continue to follow or obey, or recognize a religious faith, abandonment of the previous loyalty. And that's why they call it hypocrisy. You see, because the people, excuse, when people are always talking and they talking about the gospel, are they twisting the word of God? Are they, the false teachers is coming in? Are they doing only a message of prosperity? That's hypocrisy. You know, they taking it from its natural source and they adding to it and changing it and flipping and switching it. See, this whole letter of Jude is talking and he's trying to get us to understand hypocrisy. And what it does, he even gives us a glimpse of where it come from. But you got to be careful. That's why earlier I said you got to know the word of God. If you don't have a foundation and you're not studying and you only go to church and listen to what they say and go home and you even come to Bible study every week, you get a lesson and then you keep it moving. You know, you have to be careful. Even, you know, coming to Bible study on Wednesday with me, you got to know that I'm saying what is true. And the only way for you to do it is to back it up. Plenty of things I say you already know, so you know it's, you know, what you believe as well. But there could be sometimes you get information that you say, oh, I didn't know that I gave, and then you accept that as true. But I want to tell you guys, I try not to say anything that I haven't researched. And if there's several opinions out there about it, I also let you know the different opinions. But some things you got to get it for yourself. So this whole book of Jude is the only book that deals only with apostasy. He is asking us to contend in our faith, for there are tares among the wheat. Y'all know the story about the tares and the wheat when they grow together. The parable. You see, false prophets are in the church and the saints are in danger. Jude is a small but important book and is worthy of study. And it is written for the Christians today. You know, that's a part of the background. And I said we was going to start with the fifth verse, but what I did is included the first through the fourth verse in the background because Jude is going to tell you what he's doing and why he's doing it and who he's doing it for. You see, Jude, the servant, and I'm really reading if you want to follow me because I know all y'all have y'all Bibles. So if you have your Bibles and you're in the book of Jude, really what I'm fixing to read now is the first through the fourth verse. And they say, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, we talked about that early, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So, you would say, who is, you know, usually they'll say, who is the audience the book was written to? He said he's written to those who were sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So that's each and every one of us, unless you haven't accepted Christ. And, you know, if you haven't today, I make the offer to you. But that's who he's writing to. He said, and two, he said, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now he's blessing you. And three, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation is the truth salvation. It is common because it is what it is. It's Jesus Christ alone. We are saved by faith, which grants us grace because of what Jesus Christ did. That's what we believe as how to get salvation, a common salvation. You either believe it or you don't. There are still people I talk to a lot that say, oh, you can't be saved unless you do good all the time. If we could do good all the time, we wouldn't need a savior. Some people say, oh, if you Some even, I'll give an example. Some may say, oh, if you're homosexual, you can't be saved. The Bible didn't say that. All things through Christ Jesus, the common faith. Some people believe that if somebody commits suicide, they can't be saved because they didn't ask God for forgiveness at that time. Which I believe if they say something like that, they believe that every time you do something wrong, you have to say, forgive you. So if you're not forgiven, you're not forgiven. Not just for suicide, you're not forgiven, you're not forgiven. And we commit sins, we don't even know, and we commit sins, we forget to ask for forgiveness for. So don't think every time you did something wrong, you repent, and turn around, and so on and so on and so on. But he said, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write you and exalt you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You see, the faith, the message that's been delivered and it was true, you know, be content in it and remember it. Apply it and use it. And number four say, for there are certain men crept in unaware who have before of old ordinance to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They say the word is being turned around. You got to watch out. That's Luke. I'm sorry. That's the book of Jude in a nutshell. There's no greater background than that. So that's why I put it in the background. He say, you know, they coming in. And they're unaware, you people are unaware, because they're falling for any kind of doctrine. And Jude said, we are in the last days. And the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and all through the Bible, all through the book of Peter, and all of the different books telling you to beware. And in the last time, the heat is going to be pumped up. You can look around, all around, and people lie like they're telling the truth. They don't mind telling a lie. And then they put the camera on and show them what they said when they lied. And then they lied and say they didn't say it. Come on now, y'all. So many churches is so much into prosperity. So there are some people in the church who ain't gaining the prosperity. That's wondering what's wrong with them. Or they preach it so much, because you see, whatever you preached or whatever you teach, if the people follow you, that's what they latch on to. So if they keep hearing it and they keep believing in it, then will prosperity become their savior? You got to be solid. You got to be strong. You got to stand on the common salvation. You have to stand on the solid gospel. And you have to hold on to the confession of your faith. You got to understand that. If you're going to survive. So if I read the fifth verse all the way to the tenth verse, and it reads, I will therefore put in your remembrance. Now this is Jude talking to the people. This is the Christians now. He's not talking to the unsaved people. He's talking to you, he's talking to me, and he's talking to the Christians back then. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people of Egypt, he's bringing them back, y'all, and he's using stories and people and events and places that he know they know about, the Jewish people and being come out of the land of Egypt. So look what he tell him. He said, having saved the people out of Egypt, he said, I'm bringing it to your memories. Afterward, destroyed them that did not believe. And the angels which kept not their first estate. That's the angels that was in heaven that came down to earth. He said they wouldn't, which kept not their first estate. They didn't stay in their place. A state is where you live. They didn't stay there. They left heaven, but they left their own inhabitants. But he has reserved in everlasting change under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Then he give another example. Even as Solomon and Gomorrah and the cities about them is like manners, giving himself over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Sexual and perversion is what they're talking about there, y'all. Or set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defiles the flesh, buys dominion. That means don't want to listen to leadership or the priests or nobody who's saying the right thing. So they defile the flesh, they despise authority, and they speak evil about indignities. Dignitaries. They won't listen. And number 9, he give another example. He say, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. Talking about Michael the angel had the fight with the devil. But when it was all said and done, Michael said, I'm not going to even be going back and forth with you. You know, that's how you have to do with some people, you know, when they have what they believe. You know, what they believe is what they believe, and what you believe is what you believe. And the way to, sometime you could come to an agreement which one is really right, if everybody take time and study the word of God, but don't just walk away when your way is not accepted. But that's what God tells us to do. He say it's not for us to save anybody, and I can't preach nobody in heaven, and I can't preach nobody out of hell. But what he said is we could reason together. But you see, what did Michael the angel say? But said, this is it right there. I'm in the ninth verse. But he said, the Lord rebuked thee. What'd he say? I'm not going to keep going back. The Lord's going to handle this. Everything is not our battle. And he's showing us right here. And then he said in verse 10, but these speak evil of the things which they knew not. What he's saying is plenty of people want to criticize things that they don't know. Just because you don't know it, it don't mean that it's not real, or that it's not true. We learn things in the Word of God day by day as we go. But if you're not versed on it and you don't know it, it doesn't mean that it ain't true. And it say, but they know naturally as brute beasts, saying you're acting just like an animal. That's what it's saying. And those things, they corrupt themselves. Jude is saying, I'm going to give you these examples, but I want you to expound on it, and then don't be like that. You see, these are Old Testament examples of God's judgment. The people of Israel once were slaves in Egypt. God rescued rescued them through Moses, but they did not trust God enough to enter the land that he had promised to give them. You know, plenty of us is not receiving what God has for us because we don't trust him. So they died in the desert. Gaul calls Jesus, you know, say that's an example of his death. He look at his death as an exodus, because when they came out, they exodus, which is a departure that would rescue his people from evil, just like Moses delivered them out of Egypt. Jesus saying, I come to deliver you from the sting of death. But we got to trust him. See, Judah saying, remember, just like God delivered him out of Egypt, Jesus is also going to deliver you. You see, lack of trust in him will lead to God's judgment. Because of their pride, I'm on the other one about the angels. Some angels refuse to obey God. It's in Revelation 12, 7 and 3, 7 through 9. I'm sorry, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. They left heaven to marry women on earth. Find that in Genesis 6, 1 and 2. You see, the false teachers in their pride and desire for women were like bad angels. Come on, y'all, take the example. Line it up. Those angels did not keep their proper position. They didn't want to stay in the state that God has established for them. So God kept them in chains and in darkness until the day of judgment. And if you see here that God judge angels, he will also judge every man and every woman. Then the next example he was talking about in the verse, they say the city of Sodom and Gomorrah are an example of all kind of wicked behavior. See, he's using Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt and the angels leaving and what happened to them. He's just painting you a picture, y'all, to hold on to the confession of your faith. See, Sodom and Gomorrah, you can find it in Genesis 19, 1 through 12. It describes how two angels visit Lot. They visit him to warn him to escape from God's judgment and that God was going to deliver them from Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels went there to give a message. But the men of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to use the angels, who was the visitors, to satisfy their wicked desires for sex. Ain't nothing new under the sun, y'all. God destroyed them. God destroyed them. And another example about Michael the angel, he argued with the devil about Moses' body. But like I said earlier, he didn't go back and forth. He said, may the Lord correct you. Some people say, why the devil was arguing with Moses about the Bible. There's many different scenarios, in a sense, of why studies that they say. Some believe because Moses had killed the Egyptian that the devil felt that he wouldn't be saved, that he would automatically die and go to heaven. So evidently he wanted to collect him early. Now that's one interpretation, and there's several more. If you want to know more about them, you could call me and I could go over it, but, you know, I don't have all of the time right now, but it's an example. But just like Michael said, look, I'm not going to keep arguing with you because I know Moses is saved. That's the way we have to do with some people who believe they lose their salvation or they haven't gained their salvation or they hope to be saved. The Lord got to straighten that out. We can't. Michael did not argue with the devil. He said that God himself will deal with him. Come on, y'all. And the other people just thought that everything that was outside of their experience was not useful or worked. It didn't have any work. They did not realize that their attitude and actions was leading them astray. If we look at the verse 11, it says, warn to them, but they have gone in the way of Cain and ran speedily after the errors of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsayings of Kor. Now, this is just some more examples from the Old Testament that Jude is using to try to get the people to see. You see, these, you know, this is three more examples from the Old Testament, men who did whatever they wanted. You know, Cain was the first person to kill someone. He killed his brother. He said, don't be like Cain. And then when he used Balaam, there was a king that wanted Balaam to curse Moab, you know, was an enemy. He wanted them to curse the Israelites and take advantage of them. And you know, the king was going to pay Balaam money, but he refused. But his greed for the bride, the money that Balak offered him, it got too strong. See, that's the sin of greed. That's how people get wrapped up and tied up. So he said that he would do it. But watch this. But when he tried, he found that God had made him bless the Israelites instead of cursing him. That's in Deuteronomy, y'all. 23rd chapter, if you want to read it for yourself. Just like the song that was playing. No weapon formed against you, it's going to prosper. And here we see that what the devil was setting up for the bad, God turned it around for the good. And no weapon in your life and some of the things that God, that Satan is setting up in your life, God is going to turn it around for the good. But you say you got to trust him. And if we look at Kor was proud and jealous. He refused to accept the authority of Moses and Aaron. He also encouraged a large number of other people to oppose Moses. But God himself had appointed Moses. Come on, y'all. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And you see, Kor and those who were with him all died. The ground split wide open and swallowed them up in the books of number, in the book of Numbers, 16th chapter, 1st through the 31st. Read it for yourself. These stories illustrate attitudes that are typical of false teachers: pride, selfishness, jealousy, greed, lust for power, and a disregard for God's will. And if we look at verses 12 through 16, they say these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding himself without fear. They say they'd be right there eating with you, and you don't even know it, feeding yourself without fear, clouds that are without water. He said that's how they is. They fake. So they are cloud, but they don't have no water. They carry a bout of winds, trees whose fruits wither without fruit. Come on now. They twice dead, plucked up from the root. And when they say twice dead, you see, you when you are born of a woman, you're born, and then, you know, you gotta die. But if you're not saved, you're going to die another death. which the Christians, they're going to die a physical death, but they're going to be having a spiritual life forever. So they say die twice. That's what they're saying. Because some of them are false teachers, and some of them are just getting confused, some of the congregation that Jude is trying to tell them to get straight and stay aligned with. So he says some of them, you know, going to get it right, and some of them going to die not knowing, and they're going to die twice, plucked up by the roots. 13, raging waves of the sea, forming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of blackness forever. Come on now, y'all. 14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, that's probably Adam's seventh generation, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches. Got to watch how you talk to people. Which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, some people say, I don't need to go to church. You know, there ain't no God. But the Bible teaches us every knee shall bow and every tongue gonna confess. But it don't mean that just because they bow and confess don't mean they accept. And it doesn't mean they'll be saved at that time, but they gonna recognize who he is. Now or later. And 16 say, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. You know, they got a lot of them talk a good talk. Having men's persons of admiration because of advantage. They're going to talk you a good talk, but you got to see if they walk the good walk. You see, what Jude is letting us know that the Lord is coming to judge these false teachers and their followers. The fact that Jews quote Enoch's prophecy does not mean that Jude quotes isn't the Holy Scripture, because Enoch's prophecies is in another extra-biblical book. You know, there's many other books than just the Bible. You know, the Catholic Church have different books in it that's not in the King James Bible. So there's a lot of more literature. But he was quoting Enoch, and it came out of another biblical book, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't spirit-inspired, is what I'm saying. To that, there is no shortage of those who are grumblers, and they grumble against church leaders all the time. If the church don't work for you, y'all, there's a church almost on every corner. The Bible didn't tell you you can't switch church. But why keep going to a church that you have to grumble about all the time? And if you don't like your pastor, it's ludicrous for you to stay there, because he's the under-shepherd of God that you are allowing to spiritually be over you. But they are grumblers. They have malcontents, and that's are those who are never contented. That are those who could never be content. They follow their own sinful desires. And watch this. The only fruit that they produce is the fruits of the flesh. I think y'all should check your basket and see if you're what are you producing? You producing the fruit of the spirit or the fruit of the spirit? I hope you, I believe you guys can hear me now. My phone cut off, and I had to dial back in. So if you guys could hear me now, would someone press the one button? Got it. Thank you, guys. So I was talking about, I stopped on they were loud mouth boasters on themselves, never giving glory to God. God don't like it when you try to take his glory. You got to, and he's talking about stop showing favoritism to the rich or to the powerful. And favoritism to gain financial advantage. That's what the scripture was saying. This sounds so much like the prosperity gospel. And I'm on the next verses now, and it's just about time to go off. But I'm going to read it, and we're going to stop. 17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of God, of Lord Jesus Christ, how they were told, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 21, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Just let Jesus fix it for you. While you're down here and when you get over there. 22, and some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. 24, and he says now, he told them all of this. This is Jude. He gave examples. He gave them examples of what they knew. And in 24, he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And Jude say amen. You see, Jude's purpose in this letter was twofold. He wanted to expose the false teachers that had infiltrated the Christian community. And he wanted to encourage Christians to stand in the faith and fight for the truth. Hold on to the confession of your faith. Jude recognized that false teachers often peddled their wares unnoticed by the faithful. So he worked to heighten the awareness of the believers by describing a visual detail how terrible they actually are. But more than simply arising awareness, Jude thought it's important that believers stand against those working against Christ. Believers were to do this by remembering the teachings. All y'all been taught, y'all, by the apostles, by Peter, by the prophets, and by Moses, and by Solomon, and come on, y'all, we could go all the way through the book. All that you have been taught, he said, remember it. And then he finally said, build each other up in the faith. Remember to pray in the Holy Ghost. And keeping yourself in the love of God. That's the book, hallelujah, of Jude. And he's telling you to remember and to watch out. And he's talking about the end times. God put his stuff in the Bible, you know, right on time, because he's talking about the end times. And Revelation is the end times, and it's right butted up to each other. Ah, hallelujah. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. Anyone want a prayer request, you could press the one button. I got a lot of ones pressed, but I think you was telling me to press for, you press the one button because I asked you to. So it's already 9:30, and I don't want to open up all of the mics because, like I say, once you press it, if you want to say something and you press it again, I can't tell. So if that's no one else would like to say anything or pray or ask for a prayer, what I'm going to do now because of the time is do the benediction. And I encourage each and every one of you to start reading the book of Revelation. You do not have to wait until I post a chapter or some verses. You can start reading it, so you could get a lot of information. You know, when you get ready to read it, just be prayerful. Ask the Holy Ghost to give you clarity on what you're reading. So I'm going to say a benediction tonight, and we're going to close because the time is upon us. And I don't know if this caller press the one button again. I don't know. Let me just, well, anyway, we'll just go ahead and do a benediction because I don't want to put anybody on the spot by calling a number. Some people don't like it like that. So what I'm going to do is do a benediction, and we're going to end for tonight. We're going to meet back on next week if it's God's will. And we're going to start dancing with the book of Revelation with the Holy Ghost as our director. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. So as we depart from one another, I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And I, as Jude, pray that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. And remember, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. God loves you, and so do I. Good night, and be blessed.